Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God.
Truly is a privilege and an honor to be here and to preach, and I don't take this lightly. Is this a new pulpit? It's got a screen? Well, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Got nothing to do with my preaching, so I just want to, as you just standing, why don't you turn to your Bibles in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and as you're finding that scripture, just want to thank and give honour to your pastor, Pastor Jonathan Downs, Sister Downs as well, and obviously give honour to your bishop, Brother Downs. It's good to see Sister Downs as well, and put your hands up if you'd rather be in Uganda. No, don't put your hands up, man. Don't put your hands up. But it's awesome to see what God is doing over there. And just want to encourage the church that the kingdom of God has no boundaries. You know, the kingdom of God is not confined to the four walls of this building. There's not sections or areas or countries of the kingdom of God that's separated by the Pacific Ocean. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's the kingdom of God. So your giving affects what's happening over there in the harvest field. And because you're sowing into the lives of the people in Uganda, you will reap a harvest here. Because again, it's not, when you sow into the kingdom, you sow into the kingdom. So get ready. I believe that with all my heart. Get ready. I had a mentor once tell me, if you have unsaved family members, just teach a Bible study to anyone, someone, guest, a friend. Just teach, because you're sowing into the kingdom and you can reap that harvest in your family simply because you're sowing into the kingdom. So I commend this church for what you're doing. It's a blessing. We're so blessed here in Australia to be have all the resources that we have. And sometimes we feel like, you know, we want to give more to God, you know, but we only have a certain capacity, bandwidth. You know, there's only a certain amount of days. We have commitments, this and that. But through your giving, you're investing, you're multiplying, you know, your resources. You know, you might not be able to pastor a church, but you can invest in a Bible school student that will go on to be a pastor and pastor a church of 50. You know, so we've got to start thinking that way and not confine God to a box. Amen. So that's half my message. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 17 to 24. I think there's an issue with the scriptures. So look to your left and to your right. If there's someone that doesn't have a Bible, why don't you just maybe scoot over and share your Bible with them, just to confirm that I'm reading from the Word of God and not making up stories. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 17, I'm going to read down to verse 24. It reads, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. And now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went and as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And last verse, verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. Why don't you put your Bibles down and let us lift up our voices one more time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for your presence in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the revival in Uganda. But Lord, we desire revival right here, right now, Lord Jesus, in Calvary Chapel in Canberra. Canberra needs a revival, Lord. We pray, Lord Jesus, that your presence, Lord God, would just saturate this place. As your word goes out, Lord God, I pray that it'll be a seed planted on good ground in our hearts, Lord Jesus, and that it will bear good fruit that gives you glory. All for your glory, Lord God. Our desire, Lord Jesus, is to be more like you. I pray, Lord God, that we will just let go of the things of this world, any distraction, Lord Jesus, so that we can just have a clear conduit, Lord God, to the things of God. Speak to us, O Lord Jesus, once again, as we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said amen. The title of my message this morning is called No Window Shopping Here. No window shopping here. So as you're seated, tap a neighbor and tell them, no window shopping here. No window shopping here. So just a disclaimer, this message is not a word of confirmation to anyone that is thinking about buying those new pair of shoes, or maybe the new iPhone, or the new handbag or a car or anything like that. So I have to say that in case you're waiting for a word of confirmation, you will be utterly disappointed. I was privileged to visit Vanuatu late last year. And I asked this brother if I could share this story, which he agreed. So I'm not throwing him under the bus here. But in 2018, Vanuatu's youth president, Brother Robert David, he visited Sydney with his wife, Sister Marie. They were part of a youth initiative. And I had the privilege of hosting Brother Robert and his wife one day, so I decided to take them out for the day to Cronulla Beach. It was a wonderful day. The sun was out. You know, wasn't too hot, wasn't too cold. It was perfect conditions, and I was like, "Thank you, representing Sydney. It's great." You know, I didn't want it to be like this. Weather, it's like this all the way to Sydney, so I'm not bagging Canberra, so by the way. But we had a lovely lunch, and then we decided to have some ice cream and sit in the park. It was very romantic day. But Brother Robert received a phone call. He received the phone call, and afterwards I asked him how things were back home, and he told me that he had just gotten off the phone with his pastor, who is actually Brother Gratian. So I asked him how is Brother Gratian, how is he doing, how's his family, and he said he was fine, and then he told me something that would always stick with me, because I just found it funny just the way he said it. He said, "I told my pastor," when his pastor asked him, "How is he doing, you know, for the day? What are you doing for the day? How are you?" He said, "I told my pastor that these people in Cronulla are about to see window shopping at a whole new level." And just the way he said it, he was obviously, you know, being sarcastic. He was satirical. But I found that so funny. So every time I meet someone that knows him, I always explain his story. Sometimes people think it's funny, sometimes they don't. But I personally found it humorous because I can relate. You know, my parents are originally from Fiji. I was born here. And anyone from the islands or anyone from a developing country can understand like how simple life is over there. So when they come over here and they see some of the shops, they see some of the stores, it can be overwhelming. You know, it's like they're in a whole new world. And when I actually reminded Brother Robert of this story, he couldn't believe that I remembered it, and we both sat there and laughed about it. And again, it just stuck with me for some reason. See, these people are going to see window shopping at a whole new level. And I'd do the accent, but I always end up doing a Fijian accent, so I won't do them justice. But raise your hand if you've ever found yourself browsing in a store with no intentions of purchasing anything. That should be 100%, because I know everyone window shops in here. We all dare to dream, you know, in some places, some countries have markets and, you know, imitations and all that, and what you can't really window shop there, you just end up buying things. But the last time I was at an airport, I noticed the number of high-end stores that were from the entrance to the gate. You know, there was a lot. And they're obviously appealing to many people because of the minimal amount of tax you pay on those products. But if I'm honest, most of these shops are reserved to window shopping for myself. When I look at the budget and my finances, I just go in there to browse. Now, I am in no way trying to sound biased or sexist here, but studies have shown that women tend to be more active. Because they are more active shoppers, they enjoy browsing more. That's a study. We've got data for that. So that's not my opinion. But most men hate shopping, let alone browsing. But, you know, hey, I'll look around if I've got nothing to do. I don't mind it. But I'm just saying the differences, just according to this study. But there's no harm in window shopping itself. Amen? There's no harm in it. And by all means, am I not criticizing the practice? I do it myself. So this may seem obvious to all of you, but the reason why people find no problem with window shopping, because at the end of the day, there is no financial transaction between the business and that individual. Technically, you can't even refer to that individual as a consumer because they haven't bought anything. There is no transaction, therefore there is no financial burden. And when there is no financial burden, there is no commitment. And as long as there is no commitment on my behalf, then I can engage in window shopping till I'm blue in the face, so to speak. You see, there is no transaction until the price is paid. Amen. There is no transaction until the price is paid. As long as I don't pay the price, then I am not committed. The background to the scripture that we read begins with the army of Israel facing off with the army of the Philistines. They stood on either side of a mountain, separated by a valley, both sides waiting to engage. The Philistines had a champion by the name of Goliath, a warrior over 9 feet tall, would come out and taunt the Israelites day in and day out, laying out a challenge to battle the best of their men. This went on for over 40 days, challenged once again, day in and day out. No one was willing to fight this giant. David's brothers, who were experienced men of war out in the battlefield, while David was left behind and continued tending to the sheep. A shepherd boy, written off as someone that had no place in the battlefield. And the scripture that we read picks up from Jesse giving David some food to take to his brothers. This was literally, it was an Uber Eats driver in a nutshell. And when he arrived at the valley, the army of Israel was standing up against the Philistine army, ready to battle. But as soon as their champion came out to challenge them, they buckled and retreated. Brothers and sisters, I submit to you this morning that they weren't willing to commit. They weren't willing to pay the price. Amen. And if we are to be a committed church to the things of God, then I'm here to declare this morning that there is a price that must be paid. Amen. This encounter that we read wasn't the first time that they fled from Goliath. He had been taunting them for 40 days already. They stood there spineless as the giant would torment them, mock them, insult them. They basically just sat there as spectators, literally watching the events unfold from the sidelines. You wonder, how long would they have actually stayed there if someone hadn't intervened? But let me tell you, church, this morning, just a word of encouragement for the body of Christ. God is not raising up saints in these last days just for us to sit on the sidelines. God is not raising up saints in these last days just to warm a church pew. God is not raising up saints in these last days so that we can gather every Sunday and call it church. Amen. But we are called to spiritual warfare. Why don't we thank the Lord if you believe that you have been enlisted into the army of God. God is raising up saints to be warriors that he is sending out into the battlefield. He's raising up warriors to send out into the community of Canberra. He's raising up warriors to send out into this community and beyond. We've got to engage in the fight. If you believe that, why don't you thank the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. There is no window shopping here. Amen. We're not just playing church. We're not here browsing. Amen. We're called to the kingdom of God. And there is a price for each and every one of us to pay this morning. Many of you may be familiar with the Queen's Guard. They stand outside their sentry boxes, perfectly poised with that iconic, great, big, tall, fluffy black hat. I knew when I was preparing this, I knew he'd know more about it. I had to fact check everything, so. They would march perfectly in sync with each other as they would trot around the courtyards. When they were not marching, they would simply stand stoically still. Because they were to remain in such a state and were to engage with the public, it is now seen as a humorous challenge for the public to kind of try to get these guards to react. You see them posting videos, bystanders will stand next to them and, you know, kind of take pictures, crack jokes, pull faces, and trying to get them to react. And they have somehow become a tourist attraction. You know, they're a bit of a tourist attraction. Everyone wants to take a photo of these guards when they're in England. They seem disciplined and diligent in doing a good job. They are to remain still and silent because they are not to be distracted. They must focus on the job, and they do it well, and which is to protect the crown and the royal family. But although they are a residential unit, they are still considered professional soldiers. But on contrary to what some people may think, some of the guards only carry bullets on them if they believe there is a risk or immediate danger. But so often than not, the rifles that they carry aren't even loaded. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I'm simply here to declare to someone that we are not an army of God standing here with empty guns, amen, looking the part. I refuse to go to a church and just go through the motion, amen, and not fulfill the commission of God. We're not playing soldiers here this morning, amen. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I've simply come to encourage Calvary Chapel this morning. We are not a tourist attraction. We are not here just for a photo opportunity. We are not here to be a social gathering. We are instructed to put on the whole armor of God, amen, and fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6:12, so for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This region, this city, it doesn't need another church that looks the part. Amen. But this community needs a church of believers that are walking in the power of God. The word needs to be preached in this battlefield, and the miracles, signs, and wonders need to follow us to confirm His word. Amen. This community needs a church that operates in spiritual gifts this morning. If you want to be used by God, why don't we lift our voice and thank Him today that He's filled us with the power of God through His Holy Ghost. This region needs to experience a church where the fivefold ministry is in full operation. Amen. People need to be led to repentance. They need to hear the revelation of the name of Jesus and be led to the waters of baptism. There are many vessels that are ready to be filled with God's Spirit, and this community, this city needs a Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. The need of the church, this city needs a church that will teach sound doctrine. Amen. We must be the church of the living God. You will never find peace in your walk with God until you are making disciples. You will never find peace. You will never experience true joy until it's all about souls, until we have a burden about souls. Sunday's great. I love Sunday services. I love Sunday services. But sometimes we think that that is making disciples. As long as someone is turning up to church, paying the tithes would be good. That's a good indication. But it's so much more than that. Sunday should be a celebration of what God is doing in the lives of those that we are reaching out to from Monday to Saturday. If we want to see God do these things through us, then there is a price to pay this morning. Tap your neighbor again and tell them, no window shopping here. Amen. I think you're going to be convicted next time you go window shopping. Go look at a pair of shoes and then call up someone and asking them if they want a Bible study. Maybe you have to reach the shopping attendant before you go window shopping. But from the fall of man, God's precious creation had separated themselves from him due to sin. One act of defiance changed the purity and harmony that God intended his people to live in. Ever since the beginning, God has been about his plan, orchestrating things like pieces on a chessboard to bring salvation to mankind. Jesus was prophesied about all throughout the Old Testament. He was foreshadowed by individuals like Joseph, Moses, David. Isaiah declared in 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Such expectation of the promise that John declared in 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." Jesus is here to redeem his people. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And we know how the story goes. We all know how the story goes. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying with his disciples, or trying to get his disciples to pray. He was waiting for his greatest trial to begin. As he stood face to face on that valley with adversity, we all know the story. Jesus ran away, right? That's just, isn't that the story? No? We all know the story that at the last minute, he couldn't face the music, so to speak. He would flee and spend the rest of his life watching Christianity from the silence, happy to sit back and be a spectator. We all know very well that this was not the case. Amen. In fact, we are in this room because this was not the case. Amen. In Matthew 26:39, Jesus, crying out, says, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." See, this, we read this as a narrative. We know the end of the story, but if you can empathize with Jesus' situation in that moment, this was not a walk in the park for him. It was not a case of, "Oh, well, Jesus, this is what you were born to do." No, the man, Christ Jesus, still had to decide whether he was going to submit to himself to the will of God or not. But aren't you thankful that Jesus paid the price this morning? He paid the price. He laid down his life. He didn't run away as soon as things got tough, like the army of Israel. Jesus faced his own giant that night. He didn't cower away. He didn't buckle. He didn't flee. He didn't hide. Jesus paid the price with his own life. Amen. He didn't watch on the sidelines. He wasn't browsing through life. He wasn't a spectator. No, he was committed. He was invested. He paid the price. Amen. We know that Romans 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God," which is your... That's the least we could do. So it doesn't matter if you think, "Oh, I got to do more. I got to do more so I can earn something in the kingdom of God." Doesn't matter how much more you do, it's always going to be the least that you can do. In fact, if you could do more, it questions what you were doing before. Was it less than the least? But it doesn't matter how much we do for the kingdom of God, because this is the very least that we can do, is to pay the price, amen, with our own lives. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by the grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Your sacrifice to work and labor in this community, in this city, is the least that we can do, to engage in spiritual warfare for this region. The sacrifice you make, I pray that this is a sacrifice, or are we just going through the motions? Does it feel like a sacrifice? If it doesn't feel like a sacrifice, then thank God for an altar call afterwards, to surrender it all to Him. But sometimes it can feel like that. I put my hand up first to say sometimes we can just go through the motion, the mundane. But living for God is a sacrifice. There is a price to pay this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being part of the church in these last days to see what God is doing. Amen? You may have heard this saying, we are not a cruise ship, but we are a warship. Canberra doesn't need another spectacle, brothers and sisters. It doesn't need, this community needs a witness of a body of believers modeling what it looks like to commit everything to the Lord. Amen. See, Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And we know we've got to go make disciples, you know. Sometimes we stop there. We stop there as long as we're getting them baptized. We're like, yes. You know, they've got the keys to the kingdom. Wash my hands. That's it. I'm done. But verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That is just the beginning. Amen. They've got to see the power of God operating in your life. They've got to see you and I living a life of holiness. Amen. Consecrated and dedicated unto the things of God. Because I believe this city deserves it. I believe Canberra deserves it. Amen. Why don't we be upstanding? As I come to a close, this one's not going to be a long one. I've got a different message, by the way, for the second service, for the sake of those that double up. We've got to pay the price. There's no browsing. There's no window shopping in the kingdom. God is seeking after people that are committed, willing to lay down their lives, not only so that you can fulfill the will of God in your life. It's because someone out there who doesn't know Jesus depends on it. If there weren't people committed to the things of God, you wouldn't impact Uganda like you already have. That's because people have paid the price. People are committed to the things of God and watching the kingdom grow. We're not building Calvary Chapel. We're not back in Sydney building Pentecostals of Sydney. We're building the kingdom of God. It's all connected. We're all in this together. I'm not just a visiting evangelist coming from... I'm family, visiting family here.
Amen.
You know, it's not a us versus them mentality. what they're doing. No, it isn't. A soul's a soul. Whether they're in Canberra, Sydney, Uganda, wherever, Vanuatu. We're called to pay the price, because when we sow into the kingdom, we're not just affecting this community. This is where God's planted you. This is where God's going to use you. But through you and the work that you do over here, we affect in the kingdom, that influences continents like Africa. We know how the story ended with David and Goliath. We know that David was victorious in the end because he trusted in God, unlike the army of Israel. See, they tried to send David into the fight originally wearing Saul's armor. But the Bible says he said that he hadn't tested it. He wasn't used to it. David would go on to be a man of war. So eventually, he would have been accustomed to that armor. But that armor wasn't the tools that he needed in that season, in that situation. What he needed in that situation and in that season was a slingshot and 5 stones. He only needed one. He picked up 5. He only needed one. But that's what he needed. God gave him the tools to be victorious in that season. And I'm here to encourage someone that God has given you everything you need right now to take this land. God has given you all the tools. He's equipped you. He's empowered you to do mighty things for the kingdom of God in the battlefield of Canberra. Because this is a battlefield. This is a spiritual warfare. Don't look at what tools maybe another church is using necessarily. It's good to learn stuff from other churches. We steal ideas all the time. But don't compare yourself with other people where the battlefield may be different here, in a sense. See, the battlefield is influenced by a number of things: the terrain, the weather. So you've got to fight the battle that is specific to this area. But you will only discover the strategy, that the plan that God has. You will only tap in to what God is doing. Sometimes we can, God, we want to do it this way. We create the box. God, fit. Can you work within these parameters? But rather seeing what God is doing and just tap into that flow. You're more likely to see revival if we do it God's way than rather than trying to do it our way and say, God, bless this work. You'll bless it. You'll bless it. But it's not the full potential. You will not reach the full potential of what God wants to do in this land. I don't know. It's got an evangelist up there. I don't know how evangelistic this message was. But if you haven't got the gift of the Holy Ghost, if you've never experienced being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and evidence of speaking in other tongues, I'm here to declare to you that there is a gift waiting for you. There is power. There is an anointing. There is a blessing that God wants to give you. We don't beg for it. I don't beg for gifts. Maybe when we were younger, we begged for gifts. But gifts are given freely. And this morning, to receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, you simply need faith, need to repent of your sins, and surrender unto God. And that's like unwrapping the present. Don't beg it. We can't pay for it. We can't earn it. But it's a gift. If God has been pressing on your heart, if you're a guest and you feel something different here, it's because God's got a calling for you. He's got a purpose for your life. I know what it's like to wander around in this world lost, feeling hopeless, broken, desperate. Let me tell you, all of that went away when God filled me with the gift of His Spirit. He gave me a reason to live. He gave me a reason to dance. He gave me a purpose. And His purpose for me is to engage in the battle and to pay the price, because that's the very least I could do after what Jesus has already done at Calvary. We aren't just church members in here this morning. You are all an army of God. We've all been enlisted to the army of God. And there are principalities out there. There are strongholds out there. There are people out there that do not know Jesus, that needs an army to rise up in these last days. Why don't we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, just for Your goodness, Lord. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord Jesus, that follows us each and every day, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Calvary. We thank You for the blood. We thank You for the sacrifice and the price that You paid, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we continue to surrender our hearts to You, Lord Jesus. I pray if anybody be seeking Your gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that You'd fill them right here, right now. Remove all doubt, remove all unbelief. I pray, Lord Jesus, remove all unrepented sin. Lord God, cleanse our hearts and our minds, Lord God, this day. Lord, we are a body of believers this morning that are willing to pay the price and commit ourselves unto the things of God, Lord Jesus, and to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, for there is a lost and dying generation out there that needs an apostolic church, that needs an apostolic believer to call them tomorrow, to reach out to them, to teach a Bible study, to take them out to coffee, whatever it may be, Lord God. I pray that You will open up doors, oh Lord Jesus, into this community, Lord God, so we can do what You've called us to do, Lord God. And that's to make disciples, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. I open up these altars. I want to encourage you. Step out. Step out. God can hear your prayers where you are. There's something when you step out in faith. Don't underestimate the power when you get out of your seat, what you're telling the devil, when the devil's making you try to feel insecure, he's trying to, you feel judgment. When you get out of your seat, you're telling the devil, I don't care how you're trying to make me feel. I'm going out because I'm hungry. I'm going out because I'm thirsty, because I need to receive something from God. Yes. Don't let the enemy cripple you and steal from you joy. Don't let him steal from you something that God wants you to experience, the promises of God, the blessings of God. And He has something for you. Why don't you come out of your seats? If you're a guest here and you need the Holy Ghost, why don't you stand at the front of this altar, front of the pulpit, and we will pray for you specifically for this gift. But come. Come spend some time with the Lord. I don't know what your week has been like, but we should run to the altar. This is to feel the presence of God. And I'm not saying that to try to stir us up. I love being in the house of God. I love spending time with the Lord in the altar where He's transforming and changing. So come, spend some time with the Lord. Let's we pray.